Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for this study. Thank you for just all you've shown me, and I pray that you would just continue to open your word to us, to help us to understand, that you would help us to grow closer to you and just love you more, Lord, as we get into your word. We do love you more as you reveal things to us. It just causes us to go deeper in our relationship with you. So I pray that you would reveal your truth to us tonight, and that you would just speak to us whatever it is that we need to hear individually in our hearts, Lord, that you would speak to us, and that you would draw us close to you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love, for your great love, Lord, that you loved us, that you died for us so that you could be with us. We're so unworthy, Lord, but you are so worthy, and you are so faithful, and we thank you for that, and we love you, and so we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so 2 Timothy 3. This is, I don't know if you read through it yet, but it sounds so much like reading the news today. There's Victoria. That it's kind of scary. So we'll just go ahead and dig in. So, verse 1. And remember, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is the pastor of the church, and so Paul is in a prison in Rome and writing to him. So verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Doesn't that sound like today? I mean, if you know, we see so much of it every day on the news. We see these descriptors of people all around us, and what he says is that, you know, in the last days, you know, are we in the last days? I mean, it sure seems like it. It sure seems like it's just getting worse and worse. He says perilous times shall come, and that word perilous is only used twice in scripture, once here, and then it's used in Matthew 28 when he was talking about the man who was possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, and he was exceeding fierce. That word fierce is also perilous, and it means dangerous. You know, in the last days, dangerous times are coming. You know, men will be lovers of their own selves. And then, of course, then it lists all those other descriptors. But I think, you know, that's the thing, that lovers of their own selves means fond of self, selfish. You know, you care about yourself and only yourself. And that kind of causes the rest. If you love yourself, and if you are number one to you, then that's going to determine everything that you do. It's going to determine how you treat others. It's going to determine how you raise your kids. It's going to determine, you know, how you interact with everybody. You know, if we don't have that care for other people, but only for ourselves, then there's really nowhere else we can go but what it's saying here. So he says, lovers of their own selves, covetous, which is, you know, covetous is it means fond of silver. Avarice. What avarice means is an inordinate desire of gaining and possessing wealth. Covetousness, greediness. A boaster is a braggart. You know, an empty pretender is what it means. Proud. Proud is appearing above others. You know, haughty, proud. You know, thinking they're better than others. Blasphemous. And blasphemous is, you know, being impious against God. You know, and that word comes from another word that means to injure or to hurt. You know, a saying, a rumor. And so, you know, we see so much blasphemy against God. Like never before. I mean, we see it on people write it on signs, they write it on bumper stickers, they write it everywhere. I mean, we see it on billboards, we see it, you know, just terrible things written about God, about goodness, you know, and I mean, when I was growing up, there were boundaries. There were boundaries of, you know, certain lines that you didn't cross. You know, no matter what you thought, you didn't say things, or you didn't, you know, you wouldn't write something so that somebody could see the filth or the speaking against God like that. But now it's like all the boundaries are gone. The lines are crossed. I mean, people just they don't care. You know, and it's heartbreaking to see things like that. Disobedient to parents. That, I mean, we see all the time. You know, you can be in the grocery store, you can be wherever. It's like there's an organized attack against the family. Anything on TV, it's belittling the parents. It's making parents look stupid. And that carries over to the children. They see that, and they don't see their parents as the authority figures of who they are. And unfortunately, you know, many parents don't make their children obey. They don't make their raise their children to be respectful. And it's so important. It's so important. I really commend those who do teach their children to be obedient. Teach them to have respect for their elders, for others. Because that you know, you're forming who they're going to be when they're an adult. And what we're seeing now is very sad. So it's very important to train our children correctly. And then there's unthankful. You know, we know what unthankful is. Ungrateful, not being thankful for things. You know, Paul says, in everything give thanks. You know, and we can. Being a Christian, being a child of God, we are able to give thanks. We're able to thank Him for everything, whether it looks like it's bad or not. You know, like, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and He takes away. But still, blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever He has for us, we can be thankful. Unholy. Again, unholy is impious, wicked, and without natural affection. That's one I think we see a lot. these days. Without natural affection means hard-hearted towards kindred. This word is also used in Romans 1 when it's talking about homosexuality. But you look at the abortion, you know, that's going on, the child abuse, the human trafficking, that bond between a mother and child, that bond between a father and child. With so many, it's not there now. That natural affection, that natural love that you feel for your child, that protection, like you were talking earlier, Vicki, you know, of putting your own self in hurt to keep your child from falling. You know, I mean, that's what moms do. And we see so much now that there isn't that natural affection. We see, you know, mothers who will sell their children, mothers who will kill their children, mothers who will, you know, for their own selves. Again, it goes back to lovers of their own selves, even more than their children. So that's, you know, without natural affection. Truce breakers are, of course, one who violates a truce, a covenant, or engagement. You know, James, we just learned this in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. Let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. You know, if your answer is yes, then say it, whatever your word is. Give your word and mean it. You know, don't be a truce breaker. Don't make a covenant with somebody. Don't make a vow and then fail to pay it. If you say you will, then do it. If you say you won't, then don't. Yes, Vicki?
Yeah, nowadays people's word is no good. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people. Long time ago, a word was better than a signature. Now, a word don't mean nothing to nobody. If you say something, they don't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a shame that a long time ago a word was a word.
Right.
And now a word is nothing.
Right. But it should be, you know.
It should be. That's what I'm saying. It's changed so much that this world got to the point even a signature is a lie.
Yeah.
You know, you can write your name and say, oh, I promise this and I'll do this and this. Even a signature. Long time ago, a word was like that. A word like, you know, I'll do this. And nobody shows up and do it,
right.
You know?
Right.
So when I'm saying the word is the word a long time ago, what used to be good, now it's no good. And now the signature, sign your name, is still no good because you still can't believe that person.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just what the word says, truce breakers, you know. And also, I mean, look at divorce. I mean, divorce is at an all-time high, even among Christians. You know, it's like it's no big deal anymore. It's, you know, but it is. You've made a covenant, you know, with somebody. And, you know, but easily made, easily broken anymore. We just need to make sure, I think, you know, that we aren't anything on this list. You know what I mean? That we catch ourselves, you know, and that we obey God's word. And so when he says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, then we need to do that. We need to be as good as our word. And so truce breakers. The next one is false accusers. And I found that interesting. The word for that is diablos, you know, which is devil. You know, and that's false accusers. And, you know, what does Satan do? He accuses the brethren, you know, day and night before the Lord. And so false accusers. Incontinent, which means powerless, without self-control, without restraint. And we're seeing that more and more. You know, people that don't have self-control, they have no restraint. Again, there's that line that is being crossed over that didn't used to be crossed over, and now it's like everything is just let loose and bursting at the seams and coming forth. Fierce, it means savage. Despisers of those that are good. That means hostile to virtue, opposed to goodness and good men. How much do we see of that anymore? I mean, we see it every day in the news. You know, despisers of those that are good. Such a sad commentary. Traitors, you know, traitors are betrayers, those who betray. Petty, which means rash. The Webster's Dictionary defines rash as hasty, violent, disposed to rush forward in an enterprise without thought or deliberation, hurried on by will or passion, ungovernable, high-minded. And we see that again, you know, people that whatever they want to do, whatever their will is, whatever their passion is, it doesn't matter, without any thought or without any, you know, without anything, just going forward and doing, no matter who or what it destroys. And then lastly, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And you know, how dangerous is that? I mean, we really need to guard our hearts against that. We need to make sure that God is number one in our lives, and that nothing, nothing we have, or nothing that we do, or nothing that we want, or nothing of this world, you know, even our own family, you know, is not above God. God has got to be number one, you know, our Lord and Savior. He is number one, and then our spouse, and then our children, you know. But that's not, you know, this is during these perilous times, these dangerous times. You know, men are, they love pleasure more than they love God. And we're seeing it in society. I mean, it's, we see the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of the country. I mean, we're seeing this country fall apart right before our eyes. And so many, like I said, reading this list, it's like looking at the newspaper or, you know, walking out your door. And so, you know, it sounds so much like the world, but remember, Timothy is talking, or Paul is talking to Timothy about his church. You know, so is Paul talking about Christians? You know, I kind of, you know, wondered about that. Is he talking about the world, or is he talking about Christians? The next verse says, you know, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, seeming to be a believer, religious. Again, you know, talking about those who are in the church. And having that form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I was having a real hard time earlier this week, really grasping what this verse meant. You know, denying the power. You know how sometimes you get a block. It's like you read something and you just can't get it. You just can't seem to grasp what it means. So I was on my way home from work, actually, and I was on the freeway, and of course we have construction, so it was kind of slow going. And I was just talking to the Lord. I was confessing sin because of some thoughts that I had earlier. And as I was, and as I was talking to him, he kind of spoke to my heart and said, that's the power. The power is to forgive sin. You know, that's the power of God, to forgive our sin. you know, they're denying the power, having that form of godliness, having that, you know, like the Pharisee, you know, acting like a, being part of the church, being part of, you know, naming the name of Christ or whatever, but denying the power, not taking full advantage of him forgiving sin, because they want to live in their sin. They don't, you know, so they're not grasping onto that power, that they're denying that power of a changed life. And how sad is that? So, you know, like last week, or the last study, you know, in 2 Timothy 2, where he talks about, you know, even when we're faithless, he's faithful, you know, he's always faithful. And so anyway, I just thought how sad that is, you know. So they have that form of godliness, but they deny the power. And then he says, from such turn away. And then John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then 2 Peter 1:3 and 4 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We're given everything. We've been given power to become the sons of God. We've been giving these his divine power has given us these precious promises, so that we can partake of that divine nature, you know, so that we can be holy, so that we can be righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. We've escaped that corruption through Jesus Christ. So, and then he says, from such turn away, you know, turn away. Don't be involved with people like that. Don't get caught up in their world. You know, turn away. And it says, verse 6 says, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly, which means foolish, women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, that reminded me of 1 Peter 5:8, where he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, and so, you know, these charlatans or whoever, you know, leading silly women away in sin because they're led away by their lusts. You know, James 1:14 says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So those who are being led away by their own lusts are willingly, really, I guess, their lust is more important to them than not to have it. You know, to have it is more important than not to have it. And, you know, you're drawn away by your lust. You're enticed. It's just like that fish. You know, we went through this, too, in Sunday school a few weeks ago. That fish, you know, he got the worm on the hook, and he's coming, okay, you know, and he wants that worm. And so as soon as he bites, you know, what it is, of course, then he's hooked and, you know, and brings forth death. they're ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Proverbs 14:6 says, "A scorner seeks wisdom and findeth it, but not knowledge." But I'm sorry. "A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth." And Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, let's not be those children tossed to and fro. Let's be grounded in the Lord, and you know, let's not be led away by our lusts. And you know, we probably all know those people who are ever learning and never really be able to come to the truth. You know, I've known people that just never seem to be able to grasp the Lord. They never seem to be able to commit to Him, to have that life totally surrendered to Him. It's like they're just never they're refusing that power, always reaching for something else, never able to grasp it, never believing it fully for themselves. A sad commentary. Anybody have any comments? No? Okay. We'll move on. 2 Timothy 3:8 and 9 says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." So now Jannes and Jambres were the magicians that were before Pharaoh, that that Moses, you remember when Moses would do the miracles, or, you know, when he laid down his rod for Pharaoh and it turned into a snake. And then the magicians did the same thing. When he turned the water into blood, the magicians did the same thing. Up to a certain point, the magicians kept doing the same thing. Jannes and Jambres were, you know, Paul lets us know, were those magicians. But they resist the truth. They're reprobate, which means unapproved, rejected. Not enduring proof or trial, abandoned in sin, lost to virtue and grace. And verse 9 says, "But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." The truth will always be revealed. You know, somebody can pretend for so long, but who they really are is going to come out. The truth will be revealed. And then he says in verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And so Paul, you know, his proved faith, you know, he's telling Timothy, you've known my doctrine, you've known my manner of life. Remember, Timothy traveled with him and had been around him a lot. He was kind of you know, a son to Paul. He learned from Paul. He knew what his purpose was. He knows what his faith is, you know, his long suffering. He knows the persecutions that Paul went through, the afflictions that came to him in all these places. But, you know, he endured them, but the Lord delivered him out of all of them. And he says, "And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." That's one of those promises that we don't like to think about, you know, that if we are His, we will suffer persecution of some sort. And so that's just a fact. But it's okay, you know, because the Lord will deliver. He will always deliver. One of my favorite verses, and you've probably all heard it recently, more recently on the Chosen. This used to be a song, actually, that we used to sing. I haven't heard that song in years. But Isaiah 43:1-3, you know, if you just really you just take all this, what it's saying, it's so comforting. It says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created me, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." And, you know, it doesn't say if you pass through the water or if you walk through the fire. It says when you pass through the water, when you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. You know, He will be with us. He will help us. He's our God. He's our Savior. We are His. And so whatever He has for us, you know, we are His. He will deliver us. Some people do die. You know, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Look at the things that's going on in other countries around the world. You know, Christians are dying for their faith. They've been doing it since the beginning of time. And but He will deliver. We are His. Maybe He'll deliver us through death, you know, but that's not death for us. It doesn't mean that we're at an end. We get to go be with the Lord. And so it's not death to us. It's life to us. You look at some, like Daniel, you know, he was delivered out of the mouths of the lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were delivered out of the fiery furnace. You know, all the disciples were martyred, you know, died terrible deaths, except John. You know, John was on the island of Patmos, you know, where he was put. Can't think of the word now. But, you know, why God chooses one and not another for whatever, it doesn't matter. It's really none of our business what God does with somebody else. It's only our business what God does with us. And whatever He chooses is okay. You know, whatever. So we don't have to be afraid of that. We don't have to be afraid that everyone who lives godly will suffer persecution, because He will be with us and He will deliver. And things are going to get worse, you know. He says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And I thought that was interesting, you know, that these evil men, you know, are going to get worse and worse, deceiving people. And when I say men, you know, that's Mr. and Mrs. Men, people. Deceiving and being deceived, you know. So many are being deceived. So many are being used of the devil, and I don't even know if they even know it, you know, because they're being deceived. We need to pray that the truth would be revealed, that in evil men, that the truth would be revealed in all things. Yes?
Well, you said that the truth always comes out. Mm-hmm. I don't care how sneaky or how conniving or anything, anybody that's doing something wrong, the truth always comes out sooner or later.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay, verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned, of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So, you know, he's telling Timothy, continue in the things that you've learned. You know, and that's good for us. You know, we need to continue when we learn things, when the Lord shows us things, you know, when he opens his word to us, we need to continue in that. Continue in what we know. Apply it to our lives. And he says, you know, from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. And that, you know, that kind of comforted me because when I think of, you know, some of my kids who are not walking with the Lord, you know, but from a child, they've known the Holy Scriptures. They've learned them. They've memorized them. They've heard them over and over again, and they're in there. And all of our, you know, our loved ones who have walked away from it, they've known that. And the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith. And so, you know, God can use that. God can use what has been put in, you know, all those verses that have been learned as a child. God can use that and to minister to them. And that was just comforting to me because I know that God's not done. You know, that He will use that. Of course, they, you know, just knowing the Holy Scriptures isn't going to do it, you know. They are able to make them wise to salvation, but you must heed, you know, that child must heed to what it's saying and give their life over to Jesus Christ. And then all scripture, and as TJ always says, all means all. All scripture, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, is given by God and is profitable, is good for us, for doctrine, which is instruction, learning, teaching, that which is taught, for reproof, which is conviction, when we're, you know, convicted of our sin, for correction. The correction means a straightening up again. And I like that. A straightening up again, because, you know, sometimes we need that. We need a little correction to straighten ourselves up again. For instruction in righteousness. Education or training. You know, I was thinking about that, you know, education or training. We think about, you know, our kids. We educate them, we train them, we train them up. If we never said a word to them, if we never corrected them, if we never gave them the information that they need, you know, they wouldn't be properly trained. They wouldn't be, they wouldn't know what to do in certain situations. They wouldn't know how to act. And it's the same thing for us. The you know, the scripture is for our instruction in righteousness, you know. It's our education. It's our training. It's our, you know, the Lord raising us up, teaching us what we're supposed to be like, who we're supposed to be like, the things we're supposed to do, the things we're not supposed to do. You know, and that includes, you know, that learning. It includes that disciplinary correction, you know, chastening, nurturing, you know, all those things. Everything that you put into you know, into your family, into your children. You know, that's what the Lord is doing for us, and it's in his word. And so if we don't go into his word, you know, or just once in a while, we're missing out. We're missing out on so much. We need to be in his word every single day. We need to have a plan of reading, and not just check it off. I got through that chapter. Now I can go on to the next chapter. But and I'm not saying it's not good to read through the Bible. It is, you know, just continually reading through the Bible so that we have read every word, so that we know everything. But taking time and you know, letting him speak to us through his word and letting him teach us through his word. You know, like I said earlier this week, you know, I was just having a real hard time with that one verse. I couldn't grasp it. I couldn't understand it. And but then as I was praying to God, as I was talking to him, you know, he revealed it to me. And sometimes it doesn't happen in a week. I mean, sometimes it's years down the road, you know, where I'll read something. Oh, that's what that means. You know, that the Lord just opens up your understanding. So it's so important to be in the Word daily, every day. You know, more than our necessary food. That is our food. And it is so that the man, woman, I put man, woman, all of us of God may be perfect, may be complete, thoroughly furnished, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. You know, for it, for everything and anything that he has us for, we need to be equipped for it. We need to be ready for it and equipped for it. So, and that takes us to the end of our chapter. Any comments? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you again, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you do teach us, that you do correct us. Thank you, Lord, that you you care that much for us, that you train us, that you bring us up, Lord. You train us in righteousness, and we're so thankful, Lord. We're so very thankful. Help us, Lord, to always be right where we need to be with you, Lord. And help us, Lord, as we are walking in these last days, Lord, and as we see so many of these things that were mentioned in this chapter, Lord, help it not to affect us. Help us, Lord, to be single-minded and grounded in you, grounded in your word, so that these things won't affect us. And help us to be your light, Lord, your light, so that people may see you through us. It's such a privilege to walk with you, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you for this time. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.